Just again on the recording, on the teaching tonight. Just again, God is blessing us richly, and I appreciate everybody. I'm so looking forward to this Sunday, not only the message, but getting together with fellowship, our love feast, our time of Thanksgiving, where we just thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. We're supposed to have some family from out of town come up here. Ignited family will be here with us, so that means y'all need to behave if you can. I'm looking over at Elder because she acts like the quiet one, but that's the one you got to watch. And but we're going to have a great time in the Lord. Oh, also, I will be having that interview tomorrow with Lindley Oz at 7:30 p.m. If you would just please remember me and pray for me at some point in your day, that God would give me clarity and access, and that the message would be powerful and would go far and be a blessing to the Lord. So that's tomorrow, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. And then just check with me or social media, and I'll find out when that's going to be sent out to the nations. All right, Father, we love you. Thank you again. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on this teaching. I just thank you for what you're going to make happen in this next few weeks into the end of the year. I love you, and I bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll explain why I prayed that. All right, so last time we got together, we're talking about the prayer of intimacy. I'm going to change gears tonight and go away from that because we just finished the Lord's Prayer. But I wanted to just give you a few headlines or updates from the last time we got together. We talked about the journey of intimacy with the Father begins with trust, and it begins with faith. We got to go on this journey with him. Amen. Total abandonment is the key that unlocks the door to the secret chambers of God's presence. This is where revelation begins, illumination and manifestation. Remember, I took you back to the high priest, and when they would go into the tabernacle, and how they would have to wash themselves and look into the mirror of the Word. And that's all part of consecration and holiness. Consecration and holiness does not take place because of the length of your outfit or the height of your hair in a bun. Holiness begins with inside of you and your attitude, and when no one's looking. The core of true Christianity is not in the house of God, it's in your house. And so that's who we really find out how you are and I am, is in the privacy before God. So we talked about that. We talked about Matthew chapter 6. We went into, again, the call of the Lord's Prayer, but I believe it's the prayer of intimacy. I believe it's one of the greatest templates to learn how to pray, and how Jesus was taking us from a position of outward parade of our religion or our relationship, and bringing us to an intimate, deep, and a secret type of relationship with God. When I say secret, I don't mean like secret society or something ridiculous. What I mean is, you know, a lot of people like to flaunt their relationship with God in front of others, especially in church. Well, I prayed 16 hours yesterday. Well, great, I worked 20 hours yesterday and slept for 4. And you didn't even tithe, you know, or whatever. And it happens, you know, that's the truth in the church, everybody, you know, especially when it's hat day, you have a, y'all don't remember old church, some of y'all don't remember hat day, you know, it's competition with hats and all that stuff. You know, it's comparing yourself with other people spiritually, and Paul said that's not too smart to do. But we do that. But this is what this prayer is all about to me, was getting into the position of intimacy with the Father to where, you know, hey, man, it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about people and what they perceive of me. It really isn't. It's about your doxia, your glory. So I hope you enjoyed that, the prayer of intimacy. And I will go back, I'm sure, at some portion, if I continue with prayer into next year, or even to the end of this year. But I love intercession, and intercession is so powerful, and we are so desperate for intercession today. I don't know how churches are not praying more than they are. I don't know how people at home are not praying after you read the headlines of what's taking place. It is just absolute sewage. It is absolute sewage that is going on in our nation today. And again, I find myself in more prayer and more just saying, oh, my Lord, Father, you know, how much longer? You know, how much more can we bear? But I need to change gears because I believe I'm going to be on this topic between now and the end of the year. And that is, I want to be dealing with prayer for salvation of lost loved ones. I did this last week, or about a week ago. I'm on a Sunday morning. I mentioned how that we're believing for holiday miracles. Okay, it's Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, and whether people like those words or not, people get all freaked out. You mentioned Christmas, whatever. The point is this: that's the season the world is in, and I'm after those souls. This is the time when more people commit suicide than any time. The CDC declares that every 12 minutes somebody commits suicide. Every 12 minutes. So by the time I teach for 12 minutes, there would have been a suicide. So we got to be a force, and we have to be an agency of change, or an agent of change through intercession, okay? And so I'm not going to tell you exactly what this title is yet. So let me get into a few of these statements, open statements, and then I'll give you where we're headed, all right? So it's under prayer, obviously. But we're moving away from the prayer of intimacy. So here we go. The safety net of a lost soul is prayer. The safety net of a lost soul is prayer. Everybody in this room, everybody listening to me tonight, if somebody had not prayed for you, you may not be here today. You know, so many people, they go into church and they in Christianity and they get discipled and they get in some season and time underneath them, and they act like they never got saved. They were always saved. They were born saved, and nobody helped them get here. I'm standing right here as a testimony, living proof that there were tons of people praying for me to get right here today to be born again. Amen. So the safety net of a lost soul is prayer. A person who is lost. Must pass over these three barriers before entering hell. A person who is lost must pass over these three barriers. And I put three in quotations. This is not doctrine. I'm not trying to teach a new doctrine saying this is the only way. I'm giving this in general teaching form. A person who is lost must pass over three barriers before entering hell. Number one, the blood. The blood of Jesus. Number two, which would be all-inclusive of anything from cover to cover, is the Word of God. So there's your angels, there's the Holy Spirit, warfare, on and on. So number one is the blood. Number two is the Word. Number three is the love of God revealed through prayer. The love of God revealed through prayer. So I give it to you again. A person who is lost must pass over these three barriers before entering into hell: the blood, the word, and the love of God revealed through prayer. This is what the Holy Spirit taught me. It's not all inclusive. Somebody can add to that numbers. But the point is that when somebody enters into the damned and the doomed, the region of hell, they would have had to pass over these things, because Jesus shed his blood for all. The word is written for every man. And the love of God is revealed when we pray for the lost. How are they going to know God? How are they going to know Christ? They have to have somebody praying for them, interceding for them. Okay? So I think it's a very powerful principle that we should use when we pray. So when we're praying for the lost, we're asking the Father to intervene and cancel his just judgment. When we're praying for the lost, we're asking the Father to intervene and cancel his just judgment. They deserve to die and go to hell, like you and I deserve to die and go to hell for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. The Bible says it. We were born into sin. It was already our judgment. We were judged because of our sin. We had to make a decision to receive Christ as Lord and Savior before we take our last breath on the earth. It's appointed unto every man to what? Die once, and then what? The judgment. The judgment of the righteous and the judgment of the unrighteous. Okay? All graves will give up the dead and stand before God. Everybody will go to heaven, but not everybody gets to stay. Everybody will go to heaven, but not everybody will get to stay. There'll be a judgment day before the great right throne of God, when the sea will give up the dead. Come on, somebody. Mussolini, Hitler, and all the tyrants, and the murderers, and the sorcerers, and all those who practiced witchcraft and forsook God and salvation will stand before his throne. What a powerful day that will be. And we'll be washed in the blood and standing in white gowns, because we've been made righteous through his name. Amen. So watch that. We are praying for the lost. When we're praying for them, we're asking the Father to intervene and to cancel his just judgment. God, that they deserve it. Yes, they have sinned. But I'm asking you, stop. I'm asking you to stop. And I'm going to prove all this here in just a minute. So the word I want you to write down, and we're going to be teaching, I believe, from here until the end of the year. So don't hold my feet to that. If the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants to do. In fact, it's what he changed gears on me today, and this is what he wants me to do, because I really feel a lot of pressure is happening around us. I really feel some ominous things are in the works. We know judgment's already here, and there's some other things kicking up, if you will. But you know, I really feel a push for salvation. I really do. So we're going to be teaching on the prayer of intervention. The prayer of intervention. And I use a subtitle called Rescue Prayer. You can title this any way you want, but basically it's the prayer of intervention. And then I subtitled it Rescue Prayer, because that's what we're going to push for. That's what we're going to believe for in your house, your family. I encourage you, every one of you, to put your name of your family on this prayer cross, to come in here and lay hands when you walk in this building and just plead with God that your loved ones would be saved, okay? The word I want you to write down is intervene, and I'm going to give you the definition of that word intervene so that we can use that as a platform to teach off of. So when I mention intervene, you'll know what I'm speaking of. Intervene. The definition of intervene is to come between two disputing people, to mediate, to come between two disputing people. So we're talking about the prayer of intervention. And you can write this down. All lost souls are at odds with God's holiness and their sin. All lost souls, I don't care who they are, they can be wearing a GQ, you know, looking type of outfit. They can be, you know, dazzling in diamonds. They could be on the silver screen. They could be whatever. They could be the barbershop guy. You know, it could be anywhere, anybody. But all souls that are lost are at odds with God's holiness and their sin. There's a dispute. God says, be holy as I am holy. But there's sin in the way. And the sinner, as you know, you were at odds with God. You didn't want his holiness. You didn't want church. You didn't want churchy people. You didn't want the Bible. You didn't want nothing to do with religion. You were at odds with God. And God will always stand on the truth of who he is and say, you must be holy. Be you holy as I am holy. You can't skate around him. You can't find another way behind the back door. He don't have a back door, and he doesn't have a back porch. He sits on his throne, and that's where he is. And we must come to him through holiness. Is that right? Through the blood of Jesus. So all souls are at odds with God's holiness and their sins. When we pray, this will be my final statement, and we'll get into the depth of the teaching. When we pray the prayer of intervention, we are asking the Father through Jesus Christ to come between the two parties. When we pray the prayer of intervention, we are asking the Father through Jesus Christ to come between the two parties, the two disputing parties, which is whoever's name is on this cross and the sin that they have and God's holiness and righteousness, that no man comes unto him unless they come through Jesus Christ. We're asking the Father through Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his sacrifice, to intervene, to help bring this dispute to an end. And it's not God giving in. It's man giving in to the righteousness of God and his overwhelming love. You need to have this. Some of this is basic, but you need to remind yourself, because so many times church folk, let me try that again, church folk, we a lot of times pray for a sinner from a self-righteous, hierarchy, religious level instead of remembering where we were and praying that intervention, saying, God, I remember where I was. I remember how lost I was. God, I ask for you, please intervene. Please, through Jesus Christ, intervene and make this dispute end. Mediate this problem. Is that right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures before we get to the one main scripture that we're going to go to. But Hebrews chapter 4, let's look at just a few of these powerful truths to remind ourselves and to put another plank in this bridge that we're going to walk across, bringing our lost family back. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Everybody say great. We have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, or let's hold on to our confession. So that's the first thing I want you to write down, that Jesus is our great high priest. Remember, they got to get through the blood. They got to get through the great high priest. We're going into intervention now. We're intervening now for these lost souls. We're asking God, through the great high priest, Jesus Christ, save my brother, save my sister, save my uncle, my aunt, save my grandparents, save my spouse, save whoever it is. I'm asking. I am praying the prayer of rescue. Rescue these, Jesus. Father, they deserve judgment, but cancel it. Please cancel it for this particular family member or this person. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the, what's it say there? With the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So in other words, he can relate. He can intervene because he can relate. Do you see? This is not religion. This is relationship. He wants to intervene. He has felt the pain. And then it says, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may have obtained mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So that's one plank I want you to put in the gospel bridge that needs to be repaired in America. Romans chapter 8, if you would, go there. Romans chapter 8. Isn't the word of God awesome? Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Put that down. Romans 8:34. He is the great intercessor. He makes intercession for us. Again, prayer. Prayer is that safety net. We're going to our intercessor and we're saying to the Lord Jesus, Jesus, I'm praying for so and so tonight. I'm praying, Lord, I'm asking that you would intercede from heaven, that you would intervene from heaven on the behalf of this person tonight. I'm asking, Lord, would you stand between judgment and the sinner and intervene grace and mercy? And then go to John, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. My little children, these things I write unto you that you may, or that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Take a look at it with your own eyes. We have an advocate. We have somebody that is there to intervene. We have somebody that is there to plead our cause and our case. And that's what we do when we pray for intervention. We say, God, I'm asking you to be the advocate through your, Jesus. I'm asking you to stand there and between God and the sinner. I'm asking for you to make a way to where they would come to know you. Block the judgment. Stay the judgment momentarily. Pause the judgment. Whatever you must do. Father, I agree with you that every sin, every soul that sins should die. But God, I'm asking for grace and mercy today. No man knows the hour of somebody's departure. The Bible says what? Life is a vapor. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so only the Father knows this. And so we ask him, Father, we just ask that you would intervene and you would hold off judgment until the soul can be saved. You know, I do that in prayer when it comes to healing. When somebody tells me somebody's on their deathbed or there's been a tremendous tragedy, my view is this: as long as there's breath, there's an opportunity. Well, they're in a coma. As long as there's breath, there's opportunity. They have tubes out of every area. As long as there's breath, there's an opportunity. And we must do that. We must believe that. And I believe the prayer of intervention is going to increase in the body of Christ because we're in very, very dangerous, dangerous hours right now. Very dangerous. Okay, so he's our great high priest. He's our intercessor, and he is our advocate. Now, let me take you to the bedrock scripture where I want to teach from. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm not saying this will be the whole thing until the end of the year or whatever, but we're going to stay in this until I get every bit of information and revelation out of this and then move along. So, again, just be full of grace as I'm led by the Lord where he wants me to go with this. All right, Ephesians chapter 1. Many people, they'll write me or they'll ask me and they'll say, you know, how do I pray for my lost loved ones? How do I pray for salvation? And, you know, I'm praying that my husband or my wife would see where we are in the end times and so on and so forth. And I always go to this scripture as a way of targeting them and bringing them into the kingdom and into revelation knowledge. So I want to teach from that. That's what the Holy Spirit led me to. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Now, he's talking to the saints. He's talking to the Ephesians, the church of Ephesus. Now, in context, what I'm going to preach and teach to you is a template, a blueprint, a format, if you will, of prayer for anybody, whether they're born again or not. Because the same spiritual principle and warfare principle is found here in this particular portion of Scripture. So watch this. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he begins by saying that he ceases not. He continuously prays for them around him, those to whom he has relationship with and that he loves. He continuously prays for them. But this word cease here is P-A-U-O, Pauo, P-A-U-O, 3973 in the Greek. It means pause. So in proper context, he's saying, I don't pause when it comes to prayer for you. I continuously pray for you. I do not powl. I do not pause my prayers for you. And I bring this out for the point that Paul was a father in the faith. He was a spiritual father. And I believe that the church of Jesus Christ today, the remnant church, must rise up in our parent role in these last days and not be the needy ones, but be the one that helps supply the needs to others. And stand up and be a father or a mother figure and begin to pray without ceasing, with no pause. Some say, well, how many times can we lay hands on this cross over here? Well, until I'm told to take one of the names off because a family member said they got saved. Or till we see them walk in the door. See, we have this bad mentality in the church. It's called one and done. One prayer and it's done. Well, absolutely, the Father hears the first time you prayed, but don't you know there's principalities and powers that try to stop it? Don't we realize and recognize that we're dealing with the will of a person which is as strong as the sovereignty of God? So sometimes you have to continue to pray. And I love this about Paul, because he said, I don't pause. I don't stop. I continue to pray. So watch this. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So it's a continuous prayer. That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, this is intercessory prayer. This is Paul praying. He said, I always make mention of you in my prayers. I don't pause at all. I continue to pray. And here's what I pray. That the Father may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Write that down. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Now, we know in the Greek, the word spirit is pneuma. It's the pneuma of God. It's the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom. The word wisdom there in the Greek is Sophia. You remember that? Remember that teaching? He says, I pray that he would give. He would give. It's not a maybe. He's going to give. And what I do, and this is what I encourage you to do, is I fill in the blank. Watch this. I'm just going to throw out a name, if that's okay. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Susan. Did you see that? The spirit of wisdom. Jamal, Jan, Jerry, Jim, whoever, may give unto that person the spirit of wisdom. Now, we're doing the prayer of intervention. I'm asking God to interview in Susan's life. I want you to intervene. Excuse me. I want you to intervene into Susan's life. So I'm asking God, would you give Susan the spirit of wisdom, the pneuma of Sophia? I'm asking for that today. Now, why does that matter? Because the word Sophia, it's wisdom in the English and Sophia in the Greek, but it means the science of learning or science and learning. Remember, I talked before about the science of God, that there's a science about him. There's a study of him. That's why church is not just robotic. We come in and do our little activities and go home. No, you go home and study. You have homework to do. I do my homework. You do your homework. That's true Christianity. False Christianity is what we have today, where we just come in, let the preacher tell us a few things. We write down a few notes. We forget about what was said because we close it up in a book and we don't read it again until next time we get together. But if you're a true disciple of Christ and a believer, you have the Sophia of God. You have a pursuit of the science of God. Is that good? So I'm praying, Watch now. Don't lose track of where we're talking about. We're talking about praying for lost people. I'm praying for the Sophia of God to be upon this person, that they would have a desire of the science of learning God. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're saved, when you're lost, you don't have no desire to study God. I don't know about you. I was worried about studying the anatomy of the opposite. Is anybody, be real with me. I was studying what was on the bottom of that aluminum can. I could never find out, but I sure tried. Is anybody here? Huh? And whatever. I'm not glorifying the days of stupidity. I'm just making a point that you can relate. And so we ask God, God, let there be a spirit upon them. Let the Holy Spirit will just draw them to the place of understanding. Verse 17 again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, give unto Susan, give unto whoever, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation. Now, here is the definition of revelation. It means the bare or naked truth. Nothing left to conceal. Father, I'm praying for so-and-so, that they would have the science of learning you, the hunger to know you, to understand you, and that there would be nothing left that's concealed in their life. That you would take them on a journey of revelation knowledge. This is what I'm praying tonight. I'm praying, Father, let that revelation come. Don't hold anything back. You know, a lot of reasons why some of us didn't get saved for a while, because we didn't understand a lot of things about God. And some of us were pretty mad at him. We were pretty confused. You took so-and-so out of my life. So-and-so passed on, and this happened, and I didn't marry this person. I didn't get this job, and I didn't this career, and blah, blah. And all these roadblocks came to our relationship with God because we didn't understand. Can anybody wave that I'm halfway right? Because I know what happened to me. I carried a lot of issues with God, and I wasn't saved because I was like, what's up with that? When I was a fireman and I would have to deal with tragedy and see people die, I could not understand God. I could not understand why we did our best to save them and we couldn't save them. I did not understand that. That's just for me. You had your reasons. But see, we're trying to break that now. We're trying to come from this side of the cross where we're saved and look back where we were and say, God, don't let them think like I did. Intervene through the power of Jesus Christ. Intervene so they don't have to struggle like I did. Is anybody catching this yet? I don't want anybody to struggle like I did. I don't want nobody to struggle like you did. So we pray this prayer, the spirit of wisdom and the revelation. Don't let nothing be hidden. For what? The knowledge of him. The knowledge of him. The word knowledge there means precise and correct knowledge. Not just a knowledge that's, oh, there's God in the heaven, and I think there's cherubim up there. They're real fat, and they got bellies, and they play harps. Come on, somebody. I promise you, George Burns will not be on the throne. That was his name? Was that his name? Oh, God. Somebody's like, what? Typing it, Google it. You know how we were. I mean, we weren't saved. We had all kinds of images of God. I remember one of the reasons why I didn't want to go to heaven is because I didn't want to play a harp. Somebody wave at me like you have a breath, a pulse. How many of y'all used to do that? That's what I believed. That's what I was told. And I thought that was boring. Because I couldn't play the guitar. How am I going to make it in heaven playing the harp? I got stuff to do down here. This was my perception of heaven, not saved. I had enough religion and church stuff around me because I grew up in a quasi-Christian home. How many of y'all done that? But it wasn't enough. And you know what? It's funny for you and I here because, you know, we're walking in discipleship and we're getting deep meat and deep word and fresh bread. But there's a lot of folks out there that don't know Jesus on your job site that's how they think. They're thinking Casper the Ghost. They're thinking little fat cherubims with big giant rosy cheeks and Cupid. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you don't believe me, go sit down and talk to somebody in your job or your family to really know God, and they'll give you some wild idea of what heaven's like. But we're praying for intervention. We're being very serious about this, and we're saying, God, we don't want them to have some half-baked ideal about you. We're praying for the Sophia of God. We're praying for the revelation. We're praying right now for the knowledge of you, the precise, correct knowledge of you. I remember one time, I feel like this is testimony night at Ignited, but I remember one time I witnessed this one person, and this person had seen a change in my life. But as I got done witnessing with this person, they got into some other influences and became hook, line, and sinker with the Jehovah Witness. Got away from their sin, but did not have enough revelation and the knowledge of him and went into a cult. I couldn't stop it. Oh, I was just witnessing, and I got the person free, but they went on another way. Do y'all see that? That's why we're praying this prayer. We're praying in the revelation and the knowledge of him. Let it be precise and correct knowledge. Isn't that powerful? That's why you just can't pray, oh, Father, let him get saved. Saved to what? Maybe they do get saved, quote-unquote, and end up in a cult, as I just gave you an example. All right? You got to pray specific. Okay? That's what intervention is. Intervention goes right to the disputed parties. There's no black and, or there's no gray area. It's black and white. Here's the problem, and we're going to deal with it. Okay? This might be a little different teaching than you've had before on prayer and intercession and intervention and getting people saved, but this is the Bible way of doing it. And this is the way we should do it and the way we're going to do it, okay? So you see that. The eyes, verse 18, go there. The eyes of your understanding. I'm going to break this down. We're going to go line upon line on this. The eyes of your understanding. Now the word I there, the word I, it means the faculty of knowing. The faculty of knowing. The eye. Remember, the eye allows you to see and perceive, and the eye shoots back to the brain, what it's seeing, the visual aspect of it, and knowledge kicks in, and then you begin to understand, your motor skills kick in, and all those different attributes. That's in a natural way. But in a supernatural, spiritual way, remember, we're praying now for a revelation. We're praying for this person to have intervention. The eyes, or the faculty of knowing, of your understanding. Now, the word understanding there should be translated heart. Should be translated heart. Okay? The eyes of your understanding or your heart being enlightened that you may know. So let's break it down. All right. So we're talking about the eye, which is the part where you have knowledge or knowing. You ever heard of the word mind's eye? In my mind's eye, I saw that. That's nothing freaky and weird. It's talking about the place of understanding. Okay? In this prayer, Paul, as a spiritual father, is asking that the mind's eye, or the heart, the place of understanding, would be enlightened. Everybody say enlightened. He's talking about in the mind's eye or in the heart, the place of understanding, the place of imagination, the place of thinking would be opened. Open to what? it would be open to the knowledge of him. Now, the word enlightened, here it is in the Greek, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. Photizo, 54:61. Now, watch this. Hang with me in this last couple of minutes. So he says, I want your eyes open. I want the faculty of knowing, the place where the imagination resides, the place of thinking, the place of feeling. It's actually a solical penetration is what this prayer is. Father, I'm asking for a solical penetration. I'm asking you to penetrate the soul of the man or the woman, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Penetrate it through intervention. Now watch. So there would be enlightenment, which is photizo. Photizo means to give light or to illuminate. To give light or to illuminate. Now picture this with me. Photizo is where we get our word photo or photograph. Paul is saying through the verses I just gave you, 16, 17, now into 18, I'm praying for the spirit of Sophia. I'm praying for that knowledge of who you are, that revelation of who you are, that there would become illumination in the understanding of the person, that they would have a photograph of who you are. Not a cheap imitation, not a Polaroid. Remember Polaroid? Wave it around. Looks terrible, doesn't it? No, a photizo. I'm asking God that you would give them such illumination. It's a supernatural photograph of everything that God is. That's what you're asking for them to have. Now, they're not going to get the complete total download. None of us did. We'd be blown out of the water. But pertaining to salvation, that's what we're asking. Let them see the cross. Let them see him crucified. You remember when you first got saved, you boo-hooed and bumming tears everywhere, and you couldn't even watch the Jesus movie. Even today, some of us, when we see some of them, we just burst, oh, God, thank you. We all need that. We all need that. I'm not much of a crybaby, but when I cry, it is nasty. I tell everybody, leave me. What are you looking at? You're all the same. That's a washing of the soul. And so that's what we're asking. We're asking because sometimes our preaching doesn't give them the proper photograph. Sometimes our Christian walk doesn't give them the proper photograph. But the Holy Spirit gives a perfect description of who God is every time. And when we're praying for intervention, we're saying, God, let them have the photismo of you. The photizo, let them have that perfect picture of you, because I'm not doing a good job trying to show them Jesus. Is that good or what? That's a whole lot better than God just save them. Amen. What's for dinner? Photizo, they give light, illuminate, a supernatural photograph of God's divine wisdom. His intellect, his plans, his promises, his words, his mysteries. Now watch this. That you would know what is the hope of his calling. That you would know. The word know is very simple. It's E-I-D-O. The pronunciation is I do. It's E-I-D-O, 1492. To know, it means, you ready for this? The translation is to see. God give them a photograph of all that you are so they can see. Man, I don't want them to see me. I don't want people to see Ignited. I don't want them, I want them to see Christ. I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see who he is. And only God can do this supernaturally. Of all the people, and you think back in your relationship before you got saved, you think about everybody who tried to show you Jesus and the preachers who laid hands on you and the people that prayed for you and, you know, the people came to your door and the prayer group that mom brought over. try to pull you out with your long hair out of your room. Hey, dude, what are you doing? All those different things that we used to have when people tried to save us. It wasn't until we had the photizo of God. And then all of a sudden, we had that I see revelation. Amen. That's what happens when someone gets saved, really saved. All right. So here we go. We're going to close with this. The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope. The word hope there is expectation. Write that down. Expectation. The hope of his calling. What is it? The expectation of his invitation. Woo! Now it's getting gooder. I don't want you to have expectation to come to Ignited Church. I don't want you to have expectation to come down to First Baptist or First Methodist or Second whatever down the road. I want you to have the expectation of the invitation of what Jesus is going to give you. The expectation, man, the hope. Woo. The expectation, the hope of his calling. And what the riches of glory or the abundance of the doxia. There's doxia again. Man, we've been talking about doxia a lot here. The manifest, the tangible presence of God. The doxia of his inheritance in the saints. So he says this. He says, I want you to experience all these things that you may at the end have an expectation of the invitation to all the riches and the abundance of his glory, and to discover the inheritance of God. Now watch this as I close. Thank you for giving me a few more minutes. I want to read it exactly so you can see it with me. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's talking about his inheritance. There's twofold understanding here. Number one, God wants the sinner, God wants the saint as well, to experience what his inheritance is going to be when he receives his saints. The flip side of that is you get to experience it too. This is huge because now it is us intervening and saying, God, I want them to see how you feel about them being received as an inheritance to you. I don't have words for that. I have no words for how God is going to feel when he sees us in heaven. He might do a backflip on his throne. I don't know. It doesn't say it in the Bible. But what I read about how he feels about me and you, whew, man, I just saw the prodigal son and the father running to him. That's what I just saw. Man, me? You? Lousy old you? Lousy old me? Yeah. When he sees us, man, he's going to be like, man, I've been waiting for you. Man, that's what we got to pray. We got to pray that for these folks. We got to pray for your family. And I'm believing that, man, this holiday season, that we're going to give them the experience of knowing what it's like for God to have them in his presence and how he really feels. So that's what we're going to pray. We're going to give them a snapshot. We're going to ask God to show them how he feels about them. Well, we're going to continue this next Wednesday when we get together. I ask for you to please, please pray for these on the cross when you're at home. Pray for your lost loved ones. I don't care how lost they may be. We're going to believe God for their salvation. Heavenly Father, I delivered the word today. I ask that you would allow that prayer of intercession to fall upon this house, the prayer of intervention to fall upon this house and those listening to me tonight. For Father, we know that great and dangerous moments are upon us. The world has literally flipped upside down. These are the days of prophetic revelation. These are days of manifestation, the days of judgment. And Father, we don't know when one of our family members or somebody that we work with can be called home, Father. And if they're not ready for you, if they're not ready for heaven, Father, they will miss it. And Lord, we don't want them to do that. You don't want them to do that. Father, we're in very dangerous days, and I pray for the remnant to rise up as spiritual parents today and quit fighting over doctrine and revelation and who's right and all this craziness that is out there. And let's get busy about the Father's business, and that business is the final harvest. Lord, we love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I will see you Sunday. You better bring you an appetite. It's going to be a good, good day. Love you.